Thank you for checking out the City Church podcast today. Our prayer is that this message stirs your affection for Jesus Christ. City Church exists to lead people far from God into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And today we hope that you can take one step closer in your relationship with Christ. Wherever you are listening from, we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning. How are we doing today? Cool. You guys can turn me down because I don't want to yell too much today. Clearly in the previous video, I like to yell. You know what I mean? Cool. Hey, I want to invite you guys to stand with me for the reading of the Word. We are in, I don't know if this is part 8, part 9, part 7, 8, 9 of our series Script. And this is a series that we started in the fall, took a little bit of a break for, and we've just picked back up. And the reason we're in this, it's over the book of Acts. It is gearing us up for where we're going as a church. And so if you're a guest with us, again, welcome. This is really good because today you're going to kind of hear a little bit of our heart. The next couple weeks, you're really going to hear a lot of our heart for the city, the community, and ultimately the capital region. And so I'm excited about that. I believe that God wants to do something powerful in this church. Not just in this church, but through this church and into the community. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I'm going to pick up in Acts chapter 13. I've got three verses, but last week we read Acts chapter 10, and we saw that Peter went to Cornelius's house, and essentially the gospel of Jesus stepped out of the Jewish boundaries and entered into the Gentile boundaries. And so what's happened is these churches have started to be planted, really specifically the church in Antioch is what we're going to talk about today. And in the process, Peter gets arrested again, and then James is the first disciple of Jesus that ends up losing his life. And so this is James, not the brother of Jesus, but James, the other disciple, that he's now been martyred. And so this is another martyr that we see with Christianity. It's like, hey, someone dies in the Bible, let's join the church. That was a joke. Thank you. So, thank you, Jess Guzman. I appreciate that. So here we are, Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church of Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Join me in prayer. God, I just thank you for today. Father, I thank you for what you're getting City Church geared up for. God, I thank you for this community and for this city and for this capital region. And so, Lord, we just ask that your gospel is proclaimed today, that you are magnified and glorified above all else, Lord, that we would step out of the way and that you would get the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Hey, high five three people around you and tell them that they look beautiful today. High fives all around. And you guys can be seated. So what's really cool is that if you're a guest with us, you're going to learn a little bit of the history of City Church today. And I love this time because we're gearing right up before school's back in session and people get done with family vacations and really gearing up for what we call the big season. In church world, we call it the growth season, which is September through December. And I'm really excited about that. But I want to kind of give you guys a quick background of City Church if you don't know. And so City Church started out in a nightclub in downtown Albany whenever it was Jillian's nightclub. Anyone remember Jillian's? A few of you guys. How many of you guys frequently visited Jillian's? It's okay. I went to Jillian's too. I got my groove on. So we started out in a nightclub, and essentially how it started out is there was this one particular night I was working at another church, and I was driving down Pearl Street looking for a coffee shop. There are no coffee shops that are open past 5:30 in downtown Albany. I didn't know that at the time. And God really just broke my heart for the city of Albany. And I don't know if it was like some special person or DJ in or what, but Pearl Street was just slam-packed full of young adults. And I'm not talking like hundreds. I'm talking thousands of people just walking the street in downtown Albany. And God really spoke to me specifically about that demographic right there. And essentially said, hey, someone has to reach these people or they're going to go to hell. And just as blunt as that was. And so I became so overwhelmed with emotion. I went back to my house in the suburbs at the time, and I started praying, and God started birthing, and I didn't know what it would be at the time. God started birthing a church in my heart, and then he strategically started literally bringing people from around the country to come help this church. Now, this is before I knew that this was one of the most unchurched, post-Christian, non-biblical cities in America. This is before I knew that only 2.3% of the population considers themselves evangelical Christians. And so it's one of those things that if I look back at it now, see, God's funny. You think God doesn't have a sense of humor? He does. Because if I would have looked back at it back then, and I would have known the adversity that I would have faced as a pastor and church planner, I would have gone back down south. Oh, I'm from Texas, in case you didn't know that. God, crazy story how he brought me up here. We don't have time for that. But I wouldn't have done it. I would not have done it. And it's one of those things with this series script that we've been asking ourselves, what would our life look like if we allowed God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, through his word to write the script for our lives? And I look back at, like, it literally, and Christy can tell you, everyone thought I was nuts. And people are like, are you sure you want to do this? And I'm like, yeah. And one guy's like, why do you want to plant downtown? And I'm like, because God told me to. And he's like, you're crazy. And I know, I'm like, no, I'm not. You're crazy. Like, and so we had six of us, and we started in downtown, six or eight of us, something like that. We had a few people. We started and we launched and we had church, and like 50 people showed up, and then 40 people, and then 30, and then the new year hit and we had a great Christmas, and 12. And I was like, God. And side note, I'm unemployed at this time. Like, I have no money. It's just, and I'm not married, and I'm pledged to be, you know, married to Christy, and we're engaged, and she's like, you broke. And I'm like, honey, no, I'm not. I got the Holy Spirit on my side. And she's like, no, you broke. And I'm like, can I borrow 50 cents? You know, let me go get a beef patty down at Grand Street Deli. Those things are good, by the way. And so, it was the beginning of this crazy journey, and I'm on this forum for church planners, and so we're about five and a half years into this now, and I'm on this forum for church planners, and one guy, kid you not, he goes, we've been renting a school or some property from the school, and they just told us that they sold the building and that we have to move out. I'm scared and I don't know what to do. Will you please pray for me? I kid you not. Kid you not. This is a church planner. He's, you know, I don't know where he is. My response was like, bro, in 5 years, we've moved 11 times, and God has still had our back. You'll be okay. And if you've been with us for a while, you've realized that God has constantly brought us from a nightclub that closed to a bar to the Dream Center to a community center to an Episcopal church to a hotel to a theater to a bank. And then now to here. And some of you guys have been on this journey, and it's just been one of these up and downs, left and right, crazy, awesome, fun, emotional rides. And I think about that, and I'm like, that's the church. Hear me out. Not that we are gathering to meet in some fancy building, but that we're a community of believers that's going to stick through it. That we're a community of believers that's going to fight for the sake of the gospel. That we're a community of believers that actually believes that God wants to do something in and through the people of God. And so our heartbeat from the very beginning has always been to be a church that reaches people who are far from God. And whether you want to label that unchurch, de-church, seeker, whatever you want to call it, that's fine. But our heartbeat is to be a church that is missionally focused, that is aggressive about the gospel, and that says, hey, we love you, we care for you, and we are literally willing to risk everything that we have so that you can hear about our friend named Jesus Christ. And we actually believe that he wants to do something crazy in your life. And that has been our heartbeat from the beginning. And whenever we started this series, I said Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus, he turns to his disciples and he says, hey, you guys are going to receive the Holy Spirit and power will come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And I think how awesome is it that here we are 2,000 years later in Albany, New York, fulfilling the thing that Christ prophesied right before he ascended into heaven. And here's another thing, God's given you as a Christian power. One person's like, yes, preach it, brother. Like God, the creator of the cosmos, of the galaxies, of everything out there, has given you power. And I'm not talking about like little Michael Moore weenie power, which, side note, Josh Howard was setting up today. And I'm like, hey, Josh, can you get a mop? And he's like, I'm doing manly stuff. Go get someone that's weak to get a mop. I went and got the mop. But the creator of the universe has given you part of himself to live and dwell inside of you, and he wants that Holy Spirit power to come out of you and to be witnesses to our city. And so here's what I'm saying, and I want to make this very, very clear. Here's a little bit of vision for where we're going in the future, all right? City Church will and always will be focused on expanding the kingdom of God for the glory of God. We will always be focused on reaching lost people. We will always be focused on being missionally minded. And we will always be focused on going to new territories and expanding our tents, if you want to call it that. And here's why. Because the gospel matters. The gospel matters. I haven't even started preaching yet. The gospel matters because we actually believe, and if you're a skeptic, I'm so honored that you're here, and I mean this for real, but we actually believe that somebody, that everyone goes someplace whenever they die, whether it's heaven or hell. And if we actually, and hear me out, church, if we actually believed what was written in the Word of God, the power that's available through the church, and that eternity is at stake, how much more would it transform our worldview? How much more would it transform how we live? How much more would it transform how we give? How much more would it transform how we operate and function as a church community? How much more? And so my hope is through all of this that we would just get a glimpse of what God envisions for his church. That we would get a glimpse for what God envisions for City Church. And that we would be able to walk that out and fulfill that. And so one of the things we've presented to you guys is going multi-site. And so going multi-site and moving over to Rensselaer. And if you are interested in that, I mean, I am super stoked that you are. If you've kind of been like, I don't know if we should go to Rensselaer, I want to challenge you today and maybe just to ask you the question, just being transparent with you, is your heart really focused on the gospel? And so here we are in Acts chapter 13. They were at the church of Antioch, and there were prophets and teachers. And then he goes down this list. Barnabas, Simon, Lucius, Manian, Saul. And what I want to do is I want to talk about some of these guys for just a minute. I'm going to kind of jump around through Scripture. But the first person that you see is Barnabas. Now, a lot of us, we know about Paul and Barnabas, or Saul and Barnabas, as we see that they go out and they kind of have their missionary journey, right? They go out and they do church and they plant churches and they reach a lot of people. We're going to get to that next week. You should come back. It's going to be great. And but one of the things that I want to focus on is the first time we really see Barnabas mentioned is in Acts chapter 4. And we covered this several months ago, but in Acts chapter 4, you see that Peter is arrested, right? The church gets together and that they pray and they say, God, give us boldness to speak and declare your word. And for time's sake, I'm not going to read all that, but this is what happens. The Holy Spirit falls, and in chapter 4, verse 32, it says, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. So there was a sense of unity, a sense of belonging, a sense of, I want to be a part of this community. And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, thank you, Jesus, because we need grace, was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. Now, I want to pause there. I want you to think about what it would be like living and being a part of a church community where there was not a needy person among you. I want you to really wrap your... And here's the thing. We're like in the Western part of the world. We're in America. We are pursuing the American dream. We're pursuing all of that. But to truly be a part of a community that is like, hey, man, I'm hungry. Well, come on over here. I'll cook you, you know, a three-course meal, and here's a muffin. I don't know, because people give muffins out. We do not make muffins at our house. We do make cupcakes. My wife makes cupcakes, side note. But, like, to actually be a part of a community that, hey, I have a flat tire, or hey, I ran out of gas, or hey, I'm having this need, and we as the people of God rally around that need to take care of that person, to take care of our community. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, but we have an opportunity here as a church community to help take care next week of with the victims of the Madison Avenue fire. And as you know, we've been blasting it all over social media and stuff, but next Friday, this is a great opportunity for us to show up for First Friday, pay our $5 to get in, maybe go buy some artwork with everything going back to the victims of the Madison Avenue fire. And so we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But just imagine a community where no one had any needs. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought their proceeds of what they sold, and they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Now, this is where we get to Barnabas, right? Thus, Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Now, I think that that's cool because here we see again someone's name is changed. It's like, hey, you were Joseph, but we're going to call you Barnabas because now you're a believer in Christ and you're a really encouraging person, a.k.a. Ryan Greenhall. Like, you know, he's always encouraging people and stuff. But literally, the apostles change his name, and it continues, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I think that that's interesting, because if you look at Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit falls, right? This is Pentecost. People get saved, and then if you keep reading down to verse 42, 43, all of that area, guess what happens? They shared their belongings, and no one was in need. So here we're reading and we're studying about the new church, right? We're reading and we're looking at how the early church functioned, and I think that it's extremely interesting that every time people got saved, the Holy Spirit fell, there was practical application, and people responded, not with necessarily speaking in tongues, not with necessarily healings, not with necessarily big, deep, devotional over the Song of Solomon, which we've done, not with all of that, but they respond by giving. Interesting, right? They respond by giving. And so it makes me think that if we are not a generous people as a church community, are we really truly operating in spirit and in truth? Because I look at Scripture, and Scripture says, hey, walk by the Spirit, right? Paul talks about this. Jesus says, worship in spirit and in truth, right? Let's worship in spirit and in truth. Well, if that's what Scripture says, and everywhere we see that the Holy Spirit's present, the people of God respond out of generosity, my question is, corporately, are we responding out of generosity? Are we responding out of a place where it's like, God, have it all. Do whatever you want. This is a conviction for me too. I'm not, everyone's all quiet today, like, oh, he's talking about money. I'm not actually, that was not really my entire sermon. We haven't even got to the sermon yet. But it's like, he's talking about money, and like I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I'm a selfish, stingy person. I don't want to give my money away. Like, I want to go buy my own beef patty with cheese and hot sauce. I do not want to hand it off to somebody else. But if I look in the scripture, and if God calls me to walk by the Spirit, then my response should be to be a person of generosity, because God was generous to me by giving him his, by giving us his son to die on the cross so that ultimately I would not have to be a paying the price for my sins. He was the propitiation of our sins. And so if God gives us everything, then what is a few bucks? What is a car? What is a house? Or as Barnabas says, what's a piece of property? And so here you see that Barnabas is experiencing genuine life change. This isn't like, oh, I believe in Jesus, high five, and then go out and do whatever. He's like, no, I believe in Jesus. My response is here. I'm going to sell this, and I'm going to give it for the good of the people. For the good of the people. Jump with me back to Acts chapter 13. So you see Barnabas, you see Simon, you see Lucius, Manian, and you see Saul. Now here's what I love about the gospel, and we hit on this a little bit last week. Barnabas is a Hellenistic Jew. He is Jewish. He is converted to Christianity. He is converted to being a disciple of Jesus Christ, as they called the way, being a part of the way. And so you see this conversion. You see Simon, he literally is a black guy. Literally is a black guy. You see Lucius. Lucius was actually from Africa. You see Manian, who is a Palestinian Greek who is now a Christian. And then you see Saul, who is a Hebraic Jew and a Roman citizen, who a few chapters before was crucifying, or not necessarily crucifying, but casting lots and praising people for murdering Christians. And then here you see, these are the elders in the church. These are the people that God's assembled as the people of God. You know what I love about the gospel? Is it brings the people together that are so different, and it says we can unify on the cross, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It says we can bring people together who have completely different political opinions, but we can unify on the cross of Jesus Christ. We can bring people from every different race, and who maybe you were taught and you grew up that, hey, I'm not going to talk to them, or I'm not going to hang out with them because of whatever reason it may be, but we can unify because of the cross, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel, as I said last week, the gospel tears down walls. The gospel does not build walls. The gospel tears down walls. And here you see in Acts chapter 13, you see a person from Africa. You see a Jewish person. You see a Roman citizen. You see a paganistic, Palestinian Greek. And all of these people make up the church in Antioch. They make up the church in Antioch. Man, my goal for this church is I want to be the most diverse church in this city. Why? Because that's what the Church of Jesus looks like. You know what else this does? This literally brings people who hated one another a few chapters back. Saul killing Christians, Barnabas a Christian, and now they're being sent out. Jump with me real quick to Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to go quick. Galatians chapter 3, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. Now, I love this. But now that faith has come, turn to your neighbor and say, hey, faith has come. Hey, Church, faith has come. Faith has come. Like, God, give me faith. No, faith is here. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is available. Like, faith is available for all of us. Faith has come. We are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. I think that this is awesome. Faith has come. Faith has come. Like we have faith that Albany can be changed. We have faith that the Capital Region can be changed. We have faith that we can see races reconciled. We have faith that we can actually get along. We have faith that we can see the gospel proclaimed and go forth. Yeah, we have faith because faith is the kingdom of God that is here, that is readily available through His church because of Jesus Christ. And so He's saying that we are all sons of God through faith. For as many years you were baptized, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And I love this right here. And Corey, the guy who was up here doing offering, we talk about this and it just gets me all fired up. He calls it a Jesus sandwich. I love this. It's like Subway or Burger King. You can have it your way, but no, you can have it Jesus' way. It's Jesus, you know, mayonnaise, lettuce, tomato, ketchup, pickles, onions, beef patty, because whatever, and then Jesus again, and all the middle makes up who we are, but the outside identifies us, and the outside is Jesus, and this is what it is. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, you are all one in Christ Jesus. You know what that says to me? What the world has labeled me does not define me, my Jesus defines me. What people have spoken about me does not define me. My Jesus defines me. What politicians may label or whatever political party that you're a part of does not label you. Jesus labels you. Before you're an American, you're a Christian. And before you're Republican or Democrat, you're a Christian. Do you guys get what I'm saying? It is a Jesus sandwich. It is like Jesus, big, whopping Italian Jesus bread, whatever, I don't know. I can't think of the Italian bread you like, Ryan, sorry. But like Jesus, and then it's like, all right, so here's my political preference, and here's my race, and here's what I do for a living, and here are the people that I hang out with, and some bacon right there. And then Jesus again, Jesus makes up who I am. All this other stuff is just a part of it. Do you guys get what I'm saying? He's saying, hey, we are all one in Jesus. We are all one in Jesus. And it continues. He says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Well, what's the promise? Well, the promise that God made to Abraham is that the whole world is going to end up being blessed through your family. Catch what? Guess what? Jesus shows up on the scene. Jesus is the promise. But Jesus goes to heaven. And in Acts chapter 2, He sends His Holy Spirit. We are a part of the promise because we get to usher in the kingdom of God in a broken city. We get to usher in the kingdom of God where there's sickness. We get to usher in the kingdom of God where there's political division. We get to usher in the kingdom of God, man. We are a part of the promise and we are the, man, Jesus doesn't have a plan B. His plan A is the local church. And if you call yourself a Christian, congratulations, you are a part of the local church, which means you're not a part of the problem. You are a part of the solution. And as Christ followers, we need to be throwing it all into the solution and forgetting about the problems out there. Can I get an amen? I'm out of breath. I love this church. I love this church, and I want to see God do some incredible things with this church, but it's going to take all of us being all in. It's going to take all of us putting aside our differences and being all in and being missional with our lives for the sake of eternity, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of what is in front of us. It's going to be all of us jumping in and saying, hey, I don't know. You know what? Let me just jump on in. Let's go on to the deep end. Forget the training wheels. Forget the shallow end. Let's just drench me and let me get involved. And it's whenever we all jump in and we realize that the stuff that we're going through isn't just for you, but it's for this community. It's for us as a community to rally behind you. Then we start to realize that your problem is my problem, and that through Jesus Christ and us being a gospel-centered community, that we can find a solution to this. I love what Francis Chan says. He says, proclaiming the gospel to a lost world cannot be just another activity to add to the church's crowded agenda. It must be central to who we are. It forms our identity. Jesus does not invite us to be a part of a church to sit here. Jesus invites us to be a part of a community called the church that got labeled Christians so that we can go out into the world proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, heralding the good news of a risen Savior, and making disciples of all nations. The reason I get so fired up about this, the reason I get so passionate about this, is because I understand that eternity is at stake. I understand that we walk by people left and right, day in and day out, in restaurants, in school, in bars, maybe in your own family. And it isn't just another person to God. That person has a name, and their name and their story and their salvation and their soul matters to God. But the vehicle that God has chosen to advance his kingdom is the local church. It is us. It is his ecclesia. It is his gathering of people. And we have the opportunity and the privilege to proclaim and declare the goodness and the grace of a loving God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is one of those things, man, I'm never gonna back away from this. I am never going to back away from this, and I'm never, as a pastor, going to back away from challenging us as a church to live missional lives focused on eternity, not focused on us. Focused on what's out there instead of what's in here. Focused not on our comfort, but on saying, hey, I'm going to do whatever it takes to reach people who are far from God. This is something I am passionate about. This is something that burns inside of me. This is something that whenever I read a testimony or I talk to someone who's given their life to Jesus and you start to see a gospel transformation, it cripples me for the glory of God. It cripples me because you literally see someone who is dead, resurrected, and brought into new life. And I want to be a church that is celebrating new life. Don't worry, it's a fire truck. If my son Judah was here, he'd be like, fire truck? Running. And God, let us be that church. Let me close out. I literally didn't get to half of what I was going to say today. That's okay. There's always next week. Acts chapter 1, jumping back to verse 2. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. They sent them off. Few things that bleeds in my heart for this church community. Number one is that we would be a church that prays. And I'm not talking about like, God bless the missionaries and thank you for the food. I'm talking about God, like, let's petition the King of Kings to move in this city, in this nation, in this region. Let's be a church that actually prays big, bold prayers for the glory of God. Number two is you see that the church in Antioch was very open-handed, meaning like God sent them people. God did great things with these people, and God's like, all right, send them out, let them go. And so we are always going to be a church that focuses on planting other churches. This is called gospel multiplication. We want to be a church that does not bring people in and then just stifle the growth. Have you ever been to a stagnant pond that doesn't have water flowing in and water flowing out? few of you guys, yeah, some of you own a stagnant pond. You know, I don't know if you own one or not, but I'm not talking about the puddle out in your front yard, right? But if water is not constantly coming in and constantly going out, that pond is going to end up eventually dying off, and the fish in there will die, and the bacteria will end up dying, and it will literally just become this dead, non-life-giving thing of water. And so for me, I read in Scripture that God constantly sends people off. This is I love as Matt Chandler says, he's like, this is just gospel goodbyes. Let me give you an example. So Colin and Amy last year, like, they were very active in our church. They loved our church. They were a part of our church. They served in our church. And God called them back to Kansas. And as much as I loved Colin and Amy, it was hard. You guys remember? It was hard saying goodbye to them. But God is doing amazing things for them out in Kansas. Or just like Travis and Kristen, who helped start this church, God called them to Austin, Texas. I'm a little jealous. Like, come on, God. Hook a brother up, you know? He's like, no, I've called you to New York. All right. But that doesn't change the relationship that I have with them. All it is, it just changes their geographical location. And I love both of those families dearly. And so we say this, hey, we want to move to Rensselaer. Hey, we want to move to Cohoes. And this isn't, let me make this very clear. This is not a, hey, you are going over there and we're staying here. No, it's us as a church. We are expanding for the sake of the gospel. We are expanding for the glory of God. We are expanding to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And so what this requires of us, and this is the last thing I promise, and I'm closing with us, is this requires us to sacrifice a little bit. This means some of us are not going to end up seeing some of you guys all the time. And that's okay, because there's gospel work being done. This means that some of us are going to have to sacrifice even more. But that's okay, because there's lives that are being changed. Do you guys understand? We have seen 22 people this year come to know Christ for the first time. Like three people. Like, come, that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. And so, Brian Houston, he says it like this: the church is not built on the gifts of a few, but the sacrifices of many. The church is not built on my gift. If I died tomorrow and I went to go be in glory, praise be to God. Do I want to right now? No. But you know what? Jesus would continue to build his church. It's built on the sacrifice of many. The sacrifice of many. And I'm talking about sacrificially praying, sacrificially giving, sacrificially serving, sacrificially saying, I'm going to lay down my preference for the sake of the gospel and the mission of the church. And I'm not talking specifically City Church. I'm talking about the global church. And you look at Scripture over and over and over and over. And we are not just a part of a country club gathering on Sunday. We are a part of a movement that God has been birthing new life through for 2,000 years. And there are men and women who have died on the mission field, who have given their life for this, because they believe that this is actually the Word of God. And so, I'm closing with this. I said that before, but this is like pastors closing. They got seven of them, because it's a holy number. But I'm seriously closing. I don't want us to be a church that is all about me. But I want us to be a church that is all about the kingdom and advancing the kingdom and saying, you know what, God? You can have it all. You can have it all. And if one life gets touched, if one person gets ministered to, take it. Take all of me and let it be used for your kingdom and for your glory. Take all of me. Imagine a church that cashed in everything that they had and gave to everyone in need. And no one walked around hungry anymore. Imagine a church that sacrificially prayed. Imagine a church that crossed the racial lines. Imagine a church that walks down the street and sees the homeless person and the millionaire and sees the same value in them because they are created in the image of God. Join me in prayer as we stand. The next few weeks, I'm going to try to get very specific in where we are headed as a church and what it looks like. And my goal is to answer your questions. My goal is to make myself available and our leadership available to answer your questions. But I think that we're entering into the best season this church has ever seen. I really believe that. But it's going to require us to sacrifice. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I just want to challenge you to ask yourself the question, God, am I all in? Am I all in? I'm not talking, maybe you're like on the borderline, I don't know about City Church, I'm kind of interested, not sure, that's fine. I'm talking about, are you all in with the gospel? And we're going to sing a song in a minute, and if you need to pray with someone, we're going to have a prayer team. They're actually going to be available in the back. That way, they're not right in front of the speakers. But I want to just challenge you, man. Say, God, I just want to give you my all. I want to give you my all. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you that you are seated on the throne. God, I thank you that you're looking down on us right now, God, and you do not see what we see, but that you see what we can't see, that you see what we are becoming. And God, I just ask that as a church, that we would become everything that you see. Father, that we would lay down our preferences, that we would give sacrificially, that we would pray bold prayers, that we would live missional lives, God, that we wouldn't be so concerned with making ourselves happy, but that we would be concerned with living with eternity in our minds. That God, it would be like Moses said. He said, Lord, teach me to number my days. God, teach me. Help me to number my days so I understand that eternity is at stake and that there's work to be done. And God, I just ask that we never, as a church, become closed-fisted, but that we are always open-handed. We are always wanting to bless other people. We are always wanting to help other churches. We are always wanting to proclaim the church, not City Church, but your church, God. Father, I thank you for this community. I thank you for the people in this church who give, who serve, who just go above and beyond. Lord, I am so blown away. God, I'm so blown away by that. And so, Father, as we move forward, as we advance, God, let us not look back to how it used to be, but let us look forward to what it is laying before us. God, let it truly be a Jesus sandwich that we walk around and we are surrounded by your identity, not ours, by your identity. Father, I love you. In church, I love you guys. Let's worship.
This concludes today's message. We hope that you were encouraged and strengthened in your faith. For more messages from this series or other series, please visit us online at citychurchalbany.com. If you have been impacted by the message or ministry of City Church, please send us an email at info@citychurchalbany.com. We would love to hear your story. If you would like to partner with us financially, please visit us at citychurchalbany.com/giving. We hope that you have a blessed week.